Hello and welcome to Books You Should Read, a show from the Simply Syndicated Network. My name is Luke Burridge and I'm today's guest book reviewer. This time I've decided to break with the idea of just reviewing novels and go with a non-fiction story instead. Now, just a bit of background behind this review. I'm actually a professional juggler. Why I'm mentioning that, I don't know, it'll come up in a bit, but yeah, I throw things around on stage for a living, and I actually started performing for the first time when I first got into performing juggling. It was at events called juggling conventions. Now, I'll bet you anything you didn't know that things called the juggling conventions existed, and they do. Pretty much every big city, every country in the world, or in the Western world, has one. They range from about 50 people up to about 5,000 people, annual events in different places, and yeah, very, very popular. But it's not just that. There's a whole subculture of jugglers who meet at clubs in like weekly get-togethers, and they travel long distance to these festivals and conventions, and they spend a lot of their money and their time and their work holiday days all on juggling for not a lot of return. It's a great thing to do. And it's not just juggling which has one of these large invisible subcultures that nobody knows about. It pretty much every hobby and pastime has a subculture. Of course, like the Star Trek fans, they've got a subculture everybody knows about, but they're quite visible. But most subcultures you'll never see at all, and I'm fascinated by this phenomenon. So the book I'm going to be reviewing is pretty much the definitive study of a subculture, and the subculture that I'm going to be talking about here, or the book that I'm going to be reviewing, goes into a lot of depth about, is the world of competitive Scrabble players. That's right, there is actually such a thing as a competitive Scrabble player, because of course these tournaments exist, and they, you know, the top prizes can be $20,000 or $30,000 in prize money. Anyway, let's get to the book. The book is called Word Freak, and it's by the author Stefan Fatsis, and it's published in 2002, and I actually read it in 2002, I think. And Stefan is a newspaper journalist and radio journalist. I think he works for the Wall Street Journal and NPR Radio, and he was looking for a book project. So one New Year's Day, he got together with a friend of his, and they came up with a quest, and the quest that they came up for Stefan to do was for him to become an expert competitive Scrabble player. And because in Scrabble, it's like they've got like a rating system like chess, where you've got like the expert, master, grandmaster, and you've got these ratings that go up and down with each game that you play in a tournament. And Stefan aims to get a rating of 1,600, or was it 1,700 points, and reach the level of expert within a year. Could be 2 years. Again, it was a while ago when I actually read this book for the last time, but it was probably about a year ago when I read this book for the last time, so I can't remember exactly every single detail. So that quest of Stefan's struggle to become a top Scrabble player in the United States is pretty much the main thread of the book, although in terms of the word count of the book, it's not the major part. It's, you know, like I say, it's the main thread, but most of the chapters and a lot of the content is not about Stefan himself, but actually the world of Scrabble. Of course, some of the chapters talk about the history of the game, about how it was created in Depression-era America, and then sort of its growth into sort of like almost a cultural icon in some ways, and how the toy company, I think it's Hasbro, who makes it, get about $20 million a year from the game, and the creation of the official Scrabble dictionary and the word lists and all that kind of thing. And then there's other chapters which are mainly set over to sort of how the Scrabble world is organizing, talking about the local Scrabble clubs and the national tournaments and the international tournaments and much more. And there's even a number of chapters that sort of work as a how-to guide to play Scrabble. So it's all in here, because you may think actually you know how Scrabble is played and you got a good idea of playing Scrabble. And when I was reading this book, I thought that's what Scrabble was. You just sort of like get it out every now and then a few times a year and play it, and sometimes you'll get like a five or six or maybe even a seven-letter word. But actually just knowing the rules of Scrabble isn't enough, because apparently it all comes down to learning words, because if you don't know the words to play, you can't play them. And these words apparently are in some kind of English dictionary called the Chambers English Dictionary, but they're words that nobody apart from Scrabble players will ever have heard of. And you don't need to know what the words mean to play them, they just have to be valid. And it turns out the only way to become an expert Scrabble player is to learn a huge long list of words. And while all of finding this out is very interesting, the book really comes into its own when Stefan starts profiling the players who have dedicated their lives to learning a huge list of words. And to be honest, when I first started reading about these characters, I thought they were sort of really sad, quite a sorry lot, because, you know, they have to lock themselves up in private for like 10 hours a day, or maybe not that much, but a lot of them hours and hours and hours each day, and they're reading through these lists of words and flicking through flashcards while they're on the public transport and out in public. They always think of anagrams, and of course they can't hold down conventional jobs, and they're completely removed from the real world, and they're all unhealthy, or some of them are unhealthy and irrational and obsessed about stuff. And reading about it was actually quite amazing, but then I sort of started seeing myself in those people, maybe not quite to the same extreme, but, you know, as a juggler, even now as a professional juggler, I spend about 4 hours a day training and practicing. And in the past, I've worked for months and months single-mindedly on some, like, nothing of a trick, thing that nobody outside of the juggling world would sort of appreciate, sort of trying to get one more catch with 9 balls, or trying to break a world record or equal a world record. And myself, I've been skinned, I've hurt myself physically from juggling, you know, trying to break a world record. It, you know, you put yourself through a lot of stress. I quit one job because I wanted to go to a juggling convention and the manager wouldn't give me time off. Another job I actually quit to study acrobatics, and I've sort of neglected my university studies to juggle, and broken up with girlfriends, not in just through juggling, but it was an issue sometimes. And, you know, I've traveled so much that for a long time I didn't even have a home address, because I just kept on traveling from festival to festival, and kept working as a juggler. And to be honest, every bit of my past has been worth it, because I'm now very happy to be a professional juggler. But it's like in this Scrabble world, you can't go from an amateur Scrabble player to becoming a professional Scrabble player without that long time of hardship in between, where you have to support yourself through your savings and things like that. And so, and same with juggling, I guess. So it turns out sort of many people can get obsessed, as I am with juggling, and as these people are with Stefan, about all kinds of hobbies, I guess. And we'll never know about it, because I guess a lot of people don't talk about this kind of stuff unless they sort of, maybe a journalist comes along and starts profiling for the book. I don't exactly know. So, like, with this book, getting to know the Scrabble players is a really big part of the book. And then, you know, sometimes it does actually go a bit too much into detail, I must say that, because, you know, at one point it starts showing the emails that were sent between different players who are feuding about some different bits. But the real clincher of the book, the real thing that's amazing, is Stefan Fatsis, who is the author, and he is trying to become a Scrabble player. He slowly turns into one of the characters that he has been profiling. You know, it starts off small, but gradually you can see his personality changing, and he becomes obsessive, and he keeps track of every single one of every single words, and all of his scores, and all of his mistakes, and everything he's learning, all the one letter words and two letter words and three letter, and all the way up to the 7 letter words and things like that. And he writes about the techniques he learns, and the methods, and the tricks, and the tactics, and the theory, and everything that's going on. He's all part of it. So if you're wanting to actually see some kind of objective study of the Scrabble world, you're not going to get it with this book, because by the end of it, he becomes so involved, you know, trying to become an expert Scrabble player, that he's, you know, he's just too involved in it. At the end of it, he's talking about how he hosts the events at these Scrabble tournaments. He's the one standing up there and giving the commentary and sort of comparing as it goes along. Of course, I'm not going to give away if he does manage to become an expert Scrabble player within a year or within his goal. I'll let you read the book and find that out yourself. So that's the content of the book. The style is actually really, really good. It's very funny. There's lots of great humour in here. Of course, soon you find yourself laughing along with the jokes about Scrabble, like the technicalities of Scrabble, but because it's just so engaging as well. Some of the techniques on sort of like the social aspects of the game, the sections on the social aspects of the game can get a little bit heavy, but overall it's really great. And one of the amazing things is because it's written by a newspaper journalist, the individual chapters are quite sort of episodic. They're almost like standalone, not entirely, but they're almost like standalone articles in magazines or articles in newspapers. So once you get to the end of a chapter in a normal fiction novel, they leave it on a cliffhanger to try and get you back straight away and to keep you turning the pages over and over and over. But in this, you can pretty much go back to it and read individual chapters as, you know, as a standalone piece. And it's great. It really is a really good book. And of course, I'll just prove it to you because with another small confession on my part, after reading this book, I pretty much got obsessed with Scrabble myself for a while. I bought the Scrabble word dictionary and the book of word lists, and I tried out some of the techniques that Stefan had written about in the book Word Freak, and started playing against friends and family, and also you can play it online. I didn't do that quite so much, but I did actually play quite a few games against myself. Again, it sounds like the most geeky kind of weird thing to do, but you know, you can get really good at playing Scrabble by playing against yourself. And it got to the point where I was playing against friends and family, I could get at least 3 7-letter words onto the board each game, and that's 50 bonus points each for them. And it was, of course, you know, you can actually, just by practicing for a while, get to a level which is way, way beyond what I was before, which I could, you know, as Stefan was before he started out, he was considered a good living room player, and that's probably what I was. I even kept track of some of my favourite words that I've played. The one I'm most proud of was the word Tampaxes, and I managed to get that over 2 triple word scores, but it turns out it's a brand name and it's not in the official Scrabble word book. But it was a good score, I guess, and I was very pleased with that. Now, of course, I've not played it for years and years. I live in Germany, and I don't have a lot of English-speaking people to play with, and playing on the internet I didn't really get into. So I'm probably now just back to the level of a good living room player. The thing is, about 20 minutes ago, my brother suddenly sent me a little email from Facebook saying, you can now join and play Scrabulous online. So I've just started my first Scrabble game up again for the past, within the last 2 years. So I don't think everyone could get obsessed with Scrabble just by reading this book, but it is one of the few books I've ever read that was so engaging about a subject that I found myself like dedicating an hour or so, or a few hours every week, let me put it that way, and just to get a taste of what the characters in the book experienced on a like day-to-day basis over years and years of their life. So so there it goes. There is this book and what I know about it and the reasons why you should read it. Also, one other thing, I think I mentioned this, is that I know this book is inspiring to other writers as well, because this year at the British Juggling Convention, I talked a long time to another American newspaper journalist who was actually writing a book on his adventures into the subculture of juggling. There's no such thing as an expert level juggler, and practically no meaningful competitions with any good prize money. So I'm not sure what his aim is about this, but maybe it's just getting to know some of the more colourful personalities, I guess, that you can come across in the juggling world, and these same people that none of the rest of the world have ever even heard of. So that's the book you should read for this podcast, Word Freak by Stefan Fatsis, published in 2002. And this has been the podcast, Books You Should Read. So if you enjoyed it, if you disagree with my book of choice, or you've got a book that you think's a lot better and you think more people should read instead of this one, the idea behind this podcast is that you record yourself reviewing this book that you love and you think everyone should read, and Simply Syndicated, this podcast network, will include it in this podcast feed. So check the website, simplysyndicated.com, for more details and get involved yourself. That's what this one's all about. And if you've enjoyed this show, check out the other podcasts from Simply Syndicated Network, including Movies You Should See, like this one, but a lot more people, and it's a lot longer, and it's pretty much the flagship of the Simply Syndicated Network. So go with that one. Albums You Should Hear, which is people talking about albums that have impacted their lives. Make It So, the Star Trek one. Get to know sort of the Star Trek subculture, I guess, there. There's Weekend Watches, which is British TV recommendations, and Life with Rich and Allison. There's The Definitive Word, which is about life and all that kind of stuff. And for the record, Jessica Rabbit. And there's a new show coming out soon, I've heard, called Dishes You Should Eat. And this week they're going to be talking about the classic comfort foods, Welsh rarebit and macaroni cheese. I thought that show would be a bit more highbrow to begin with, but hey, they've gone with what everyone loves. So I guess the best way to get all these shows and more shows is to subscribe to the Simply Here feed that you can find on simplysyndicated.com. Thanks for listening. I hope you really enjoy the book that I've recommended this week on this podcast. I've been Luke Burridge, and this has been Books You Should Read. Catch you later.